What follows is Joe's explanation of A, B, and C, and then D and E. For those who were there, for those who weren't, you can listen along anyway.
Which one? What was wrong with it?
Burnt.
Elaine? Try and learn the difference between bitter and acidity. It's quite common that people can't distinguish between acidity and bitterness. Try it again. It's a common fault. It's one of the biggest problems. You know, some people come to me and say the coffee's bitter because it's sour.
Or
I wouldn't call it
a certi.
This is
what you call baked. So you have an acidity, but it's like... It has an acidity, but it's an insipid acidity, which we refer to as baked.
It's a baked.
Okay. Very flat acidity.
And in C, you should have picked some burnt flavors up.
Roastiness.
Maybe check.
B is definitely the more balanced. You pick that up immediately.
There's nothing burnt in it.
On B.
No, sorry. There's nothing burnt in this. That's your burnt one.
No.
Test them.
Actually, it's not.
It's the other way around.
It's
the other way around.
Really?
Sorry?
I'm with you.
I think that's mixed up.
But
it's okay. We may be wrong. It's okay.
Could you just try once more? Give me a spoon.
Can I see your spoon? I think that'd be mixed up.
Are we in the little group of three?
Yeah, we're in the 17 group.
Yes! Group of four, people!
This is, This is the most balanced. To me, that one's burnt.
This is the most balanced.
Yeah.
But underdevelopment, overdevelopment. Burnt.
Wow. Okay.
Baked.
Got me there. Right?
Okay.
Got me there.
All right. Let me give you the specs.
Joe, wait. Before you give us the specs, run us just to clarify with Cuth, Elaine, myself, the rest. Just give us.
How do you feel? Do you feel this is underdevelopment or underdevelopment?
Before we do that, just explain again to everyone where we should and what we should be tasting from a overdevelopment, underdevelopment. I think there's a bit of confusion around the table we should be tasting and where we should be tasting. In the
Does everybody agree that B is the most balanced?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So basically. That's spot on. That is what you should be tasting, and it's good that you can taste it. So before, and that is the most important issue, first of all, on this slide, that you can realize what profile I've used gives me a better coffee. Would you say if you were roasting this coffee, you're sitting in front of a roaster every day, would you want to roast it like this, or do you want to roast it like this or that?
Like
you'd want to roast it like this. So this is the most important episode, first of all, to realize, spend some time on your profiles and get the best that you can.
Can I ask you a question? So are you saying this, like, this is the way you want to be roasting this coffee?
If I only roasted this coffee three times, I'd never seen it.
Okay.
I looked at it and I decided what would be the best way to roast this coffee.
Okay.
And B came out. Okay? All right. So that is from it doing tens of thousands of roasts of hundreds of years of looking at a bean, knowing what it is, and putting a profile in that I know will give me something decent. Okay? Then what I did is I put too little heat in, and I put too much
heat. At which stage of the roast did you put too much heat in?
The beginning.
The beginning
stage.
What about the end?
I didn't go.
So the end is exactly the same.
These all go on the didri, okay, on convection heat measurement to 220 degrees. Okay, I'll give you the specs now. A, first crack 14 minutes. B, first crack 2 minutes 20. C, first crack 11 minutes.
So
2 minutes. 14 minutes and 2 minutes. Not 2 minutes. 12. Sorry, 12. This is 14. 14. 12, 20. 11. Okay. Okay. Full time of roast,
1753, 1620, 1502.
Mass loss, 15.4, 15.33, 15.17. Who uses mass loss?
All the time.
Yeah, all the time. Every batch. Who uses tiles? Colour. Take your colour, throw it in the bin, use mass loss. Mass loss is the way that tells you everything. Your mass loss tells you here, 14.4, least amount of mass loss. Not everything has developed. 15.17, too much has developed.
So what's your, guideline? How much should you use
it? Your guideline I wouldn't know, because you know that on a batch, because your moisture content... I'm weighing, these were 3 kilogram batches, okay? Now, if my mass loss at the end of the day, if the coffee's got 12% moisture or 10% moisture, it's got that. So what you should also try and do beforehand, if you buy a lot of one type of coffee, is work out the mass, the percentage physical water in your beans. Say you buy 4 or 5 bags of coffee. You take some 100 grams, you put it in your oven at 160 degrees for 6 hours, and then you weigh and see how much is lost. And then every 2 weeks, check how much is lost. And then you know how that. Like, this is arbitrary. It could be, say, if the coffee had more moisture in it, those percentages would be higher. Okay? All right. Now, to make it more clear for you now, we also plotted some roast profiles for you. Okay?
Do you have this in a graphic representation?
This is A.
All right. Okay, this is A, B, and C. There's no curving of the smoothing of the curves, and the temperature was taken every 10 seconds. Okay? All right. Now, A, B, and C. Same amount of temperature dropped. Okay? Same amount of heat being put in. Then at turnaround, which is about a minute and a half, you use least heat for A, B in the middle, C the most. First crack. The heat was turned down before first crack, so first crack happened under the same heat, and the profile after that is identical. So your identical, your difference is only pushed out in, and it pushes out 1.5 minutes. See the difference in flavor you get. The one that gives you the best is the flavor, and it proves it in the cup. You could, obviously this coffee, it's the first time I've seen it. If I was buying this coffee regularly for Grant, and Grant could provide it for me at a certain quality on a regular basis, I would play around with B a little bit more. I would then do this first and find out. I would change the, say, the roast degree, make it lighter or darker or whatever, find out what the first roast degree is. Then I would play around with the roast profile after. Maybe it would be better to keep the heat in longer or shorter or change it at a certain time. But this shows you how easily it is to change the flavor of it. Just by what you do.
Is that A's roast profile?
What?
Is that A,
sorry,
is
A, B, and C, they're all three together.
That ditch over there, is that, what is that, is when you dumped it?
What? The drop, yes. Obviously, they're all dumped in at 210, and then you reach turnaround that it starts increasing in temperature, and the drops at about 1.5.
At the end, is that where you drop it?
No. At the end where it drops, when you're using very hard beans, if you want to know that your roaster is giving you good signals, in your the thermocouple that you've got in your roaster, the roast measurement that what you're doing, what you start seeing, especially if you use very hard beans like this one, you don't see it on softer beans. What happens when this thing cracks open, it exposes certain surface, it exposes certain area of the coffee, then sucks heat from the roaster into there. It's not to say that the beans are cooling down, and that the thermocouple is able to detect.
You know what I'm trying to say?
But this is a bean probe, right?
What?
Not an environmental temperature probe.
It's a bean probe, a convection bean probe. Convection temperature bean probe.
So, in absolute terms, sorry.
This is the temperature of the coffee on the bean.
So what I'm saying is, in absolute terms, your bean
you will see
your bean temperature ditched.
When you see, when they open up, your surface area of your bean increases. Because of that, and that cold, and it's cold, because inside the bean it's much colder than outside, and that can take temperature from the roaster into the bean. So you see this drop. But you only see that on very hard beans, because it's cool inside. If you take a soft bean, you don't see that, because it's already hot in the bean. So when it cracks open, you don't get heat sucking in from the bean. A lot of people make this mistake. They destroy, they expend a fortune on hard bean coffees, and they destroy them because they see that, and then they turn the heat up. And you spend so much money buying hard bean, and then you start burning them. You must, if you want to do a hard bean, see how your heat input works in the coffee with a soft bean, and then apply the same heat foot using a hard bean.
But just so I can get it straight in my head, this is a bean temperature probe, and then that's what happens, exactly what you described. The actual bean temperature has ditched over, has dropped over here, and then gone back up.
Yeah.
I understand.
But just remember, you are talking when that bean temperature drops, you're about 210 degrees. Your roasting happens at 185.
And then the dump is just...
So you're still having heat in. You know, people, you've got to be careful about what your roaster tells you. The roasters are also one of these big fairy Tory telling you that this roaster is magic and it can fly you to the moon and whatever. I'm not a big believer in one roaster being better than the other. I believe you've got a roaster, you've got a mind, think you can taste, and you can make a good coffee with whatever roaster you use. And if you're using a Didrik, if you're using a Toppers, if you're using a Probart, I don't care. I have seen brilliant coffees made from cheap roasters. I like Didrik, but that is my personal life. But, I love Probox too.
Which means that
you guys are messy. Okay, if you want to verify those again,
I think it's just the same.
That is a Didrik system.
Same. Yep.
Because that's when I keep convection heat in the Didrik. So as in a Didrik, as soon as you've lost the physical water, you decrease conduction heat and increase convection.
Which one?
Yeah, that's
so, and then you get that dip. And that dip I do is by actually what's happening there, I'm increasing the airflow into the roast. And with a Didrik, you've got heat exchanger that will increase it up. So as soon as I increase that heat exchanger and I increase the airflow in, I'm getting more heat flowing through those heat exchangers. The air is hotter, and you see a quick rise in temperature. And I've left that the same for each effect, so that doesn't change from A, B, or C influences. With a Didrik, I can influence the flavor of the coffee of introducing that point. I could do it before yellow, or after yellow, just before first cut. I like introducing it at pure having lost the physical water. But I know some other roasters use it.
We 4 minutes, sir.
That is
four
a typical.
Minutes.
When you see that on a cross,
it's the same thing.
And you might see it earlier on or later on in the
cross. No,
that's not. Just run this through. Because the question that I asked was, I'm just doing in the lane, maybe coming here. So just so I can clear it. We said that.
Okay, is this now?
It's the same one.
Okay, the
same
one.
You just root them again.
This is DNE.
Okay, oh, DNE.
Oh,
you must do DNE now. Yeah.
Oh, these are different ones.
Okay,
so
now we're not going to tell you anything.
Okay,
I want you to taste DNE and then I want to tell you to tell me about it.
Do you want to break?
Okay,
what do you want to say? So, A, B, and C going starting from A, B, C. Okay. Talk to me about. You said that A, you did.
Can we do the D and E?
I got you. That is standard.
Yellow
to
brown.
So
your introduction of heat.
Same.
Is what
they
want to
look
at.
D and E is on the
other
side.
Yeah.
That's got a standard.
Through that yellow into browning phase. In A. Am I right?
I was
in
But
was that in
A? So
that
you heard
it
with the story. See your what's subjective and what's
for.
So it's
for
A.
A
I used in the east. B I used in the middle. And C, I use the most. And then from 8.5 minutes, I use the same amount of heating.
Okay.
So the only difference is from 1.5 minutes
to
8.5 minutes. And the one I use, so that's all I've done.
Then afterwards, it's all identical.
Yeah.
And that's why you see this is all identical. It's just shifted by 1.5 minutes.
So
I won't nick it, don't worry. In A, from this point, because you have to introduce less heat, so when
you
can't
test
this one,
still
hot. More heat?
No, not
you
at all.
You just kept the same amount.
So the coffees have actually had the same. Remember, I said what is roasting? It's putting heat in to make the reactions work.
Yeah.
So the amount of heat is exactly the same. If we were to work out the kilojoule power of the roaster, putting that into the green bean, A, B, and C are identical.
They are identical, yeah.
It's the way I've put it in. Is
yeah, correct. Okay.
And that is clearly illustrated because
so that's what I'm asking.
Everything is shifted by 1.5 minutes.
Correct.
But the total amount of heat is the same.
Okay,
if I was paying for gas, the gas would possibly be the same for A, B, and C.
So that's the same thing. So over here, you didn't put much heat in.
Yeah.
I'm asking, did you then put in more to
compensate? No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, it shifted the time, so therefore the energy is the same.
That's
why I put in the same amount of heat, but then it's gone to 18 minutes, you see?
Yeah.
Gone, what is it, 18 minutes?
17, 15,
yeah, 18
yeah.
minutes.
Yeah. Okay, so let's go. Defective A was balanced.
Yeah.
C was.
You can optimize it, obviously, but it's a good coffee,
no,
it's already balanced.
So
C was
over roast.
You could taste it. You could taste
some
second crack elements, and it hasn't gone into second crack.
Okay.
But obviously some of the outside hasn't physically gone into second crack.
Okay, yeah.
None of these have gone to where they should have gone into second crack. Okay, but in C you can definitely taste second crack elements.
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
And that is not from the bean actually having any crack. That's just because some of the outside of the bean, that transformation has
already
come from, you know, it's second crack.
It's
inside
and
it's
again.
But
and then
the outside
there's D&D.
Is
D&D. We've still got another.
And it shouldn't have.
It shouldn't have.
So when you taste them, it's a bomb.
Same.
I'm missing
coffee.
Are you?
I should have, if I wanted second crack taste, I should have stayed on beef and just carried on letting it go. I don't want second crack effects with using C. If I want second crack effect, I should use B and let it dry a little bit longer. Let it dry. You see, here's the temperature of the roaster increasing, ready to bring the bean into second crack.
Okay.
So it's all gone now. 2 degrees later, about 15 seconds later, second crack would have started in order.
Are you sure in the table, Joe? Are you sure in the table you can mix A and C?
Well, taste them again.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, whoever wants to break
D&E,
you can break D&E.
Let me try it again. Is this A and
AC?
And C.
Did anyone break this?
No.
Do you have EFF as well?
Yeah.
You see, I get here a bad acidity, a sort of, I get an acidity that is insipid. I get an acidity, but it's not the right, it's an insipid. It's like vinegar acidity. It's not lemon acidity. And you get a roast.
Yeah, I do that. Both in the same body?
It's the biggest problem of roasters and customers, the distinction between acidity and bitterness. And if you've got a problem as a roaster to identify, get yourself a super taster and let them teach you what it is. And as I say, you find them by finding the people that can't stand a cup of coffee. And they can't stand it because they are so sensitive to the acidic and bitter elements of coffee. They've got such in-tuned cells on their tongue to the acidity and the bitterness in the coffee that it is so nasty to their mouth. They find it revolting. But for you to get a measure, they are excellent. Because they can tell you in the finest bits that this is less bitter, this is dark bitter, this is more acidic.
They were standing chill up. You were picking up in the brightness, the acidity, and you're picking up the flavors at the end. The body is pretty much consistent.
Okay, where is this? This is the one I'm really interested in. And this is the one I'm really interested in for you to give me a comment on.
Which, this one?
The D&E.
Just choose your words wisely because prices are going up accordingly.
Yeah. You can use that sign at the machine, bring it here. Hey, you know the machine sign? Yeah, bring it in. It. He doesn't. I was on Friday I got strict instructions not to call a certain coffee a certain thing.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
I promise them
I'm not gonna do it. Yeah. Please don't. Did you try to begin, John?
Okay, where is D&E?
That's D&E.
I haven't cut these at all. We just thought this would be a nice little cheeky thing to do. So let's see if it worked. Is this E here?
Yeah.
And is that E?
Huh?
Very fucking cheeky. Bastard. Yeah. Yeah.
D?
You cut a lot? Every day?
More than once a week.
Yeah,
it's not every day.
I was just with a couple of traders from London.
Oh, yeah?
They taste 40 cups every day.
I'll
have
that job, but not today.
Yeah.
Okay,
wakes you up in the morning.
Do you like the difference? Do you like the difference? Look, we know what it is.
Yeah, I think
you like
pretty much what you were thinking, actually.
But is it right? Is it right?
Yeah.
Are you happy with the result?
Yeah.
Because this is something I had to do for Brian.
Nice.
Okay, can somebody tell... I want people to tell me about D&E.
Why the fuck did you do that to the coffee? How's that?
Which one?
Both of them.
Are they cuck?
No, they're not. They're okay. I'm not...
Okay, well, which one do you like most? D?
E.
E, you like E? Okay, what's the vote? Who's voting for D?
I'll go for D.
Who's voting for E?
I'll go for D.
How many E's? One E, how many D's?
I'll go for D.
Can you tell me something more about D?
I think like B in the previous one, a little bit more balance, a little bit more direction from a taste profile.
Okay. Is there a bigger difference between D and E?
Yeah.
Than there was when we were doing A, B, and C?
No.
No, I reckon there's the same difference between it. Probably a less of a difference between B and C of the first one.
Uh-huh.
But definitely a difference between A and B, and there's a difference between...
Oh, God, you're not going to like this.
Wayne, shut up.
You're not going to like this.
No, I do, because I've got lots more of the others. This only had one bagel.
Okay. Do you want to know what D is?
DSB.
Really?
I'm dyslexic, so DSB.
DSB.
Okay. Sometimes I write. Sometimes I write B, and sometimes I write D. B is D.
That's why the cool kids like.
And what is E?
And the.
What is E?
E is A.
No.
E is C.
That's not what
E is. Robusta.
Oh, drop! He's gonna beat you. He's gonna.
She comes up fast.
She's gonna beat me.
Yes, not
okay.
What is E?
The whole idea of the experiment was: what are the biggest tools that we've got as roasters? We've got two. We can decide on what green beans we get, mm-hmm. and we can decide how to roast it. Mm-hmm. A, B, and C showed us how we roast it. Mm-hmm. We can roast the same roast three because then I think after 6 months of roasting, you should be able to consistently hit a roastery. If you can't, get more lessons, okay? After C, you should be consistently be able to hit a coffee. After 6 months of hit a coffee at a roastery, you'll be able to reproduce that day and day out. If you really become good, you should be able to, within the day of roasting, you should be able to hit that within 5 seconds in the day. From one day to the next, within 10. And from major weather conditions, from say a rainy day to a hot, dry, you should be able to get it within 20 seconds. Mm-hmm. Those are the skills that you need to
it's
have.
Like savage dogs there.
You don't need to have a computer that tells you that. You should be able to do that with your hands. Okay? Then you become a good roaster. After 6 to 12 months, you should be able to do that. Then you can play around, as I said, with changing. First of all, get your roast degree right, because that also has a big influence on the test. Then you play around with the degree you like, by what we showed you with A, B, and C, where the degree is the same, but we played around with when we introduced the heat. And you can do that in the beginning, that's the most noticeable one. But also, I've done some trials with some coffees, just don't like doing them because you've got to really be on your toes. Is actually changing temperatures while you get cracking on your first crack. Those are quite tricky ones, and you've got to be in the mood for it. Okay, but so you can also do a lot there. D and E. E is the same coffee, lower grade. Same profile, same roast degree, everything. So it's got B's profile. Taken to so the same temperature, whatever. It's just a different quality. So that shows you what have we got. We've got how we play around with our roast and what beans we got.
My credibility is fucking intact.
That doesn't matter. That doesn't mean that I sometimes like using lower grade coffees because, especially in a blend. Because I'm looking for certain things to introduce. First of all, if I blend, I will only blend post-roasting, so each component will be roasted by itself. If you design blends where you blend with a green bean, you have to have a bigger strategy. You've got less options, but it's more difficult to develop. To develop a coffee that you're blending green is really a lot of work, if you want to do it well. But a small roaster, you can have more variance and you can do more by blending post-roasting. Okay. But there's a lot what you can do. And therefore, I'm also one of these people. I think our industry is mature enough now for the roasters who are taking it seriously to maybe start more seriously consider blending, creating signatures for yourselves. Looking at different options, creating a signature for you as a roaster. And what you can do is use what your roaster can do with different temperatures, different degrees, and then how you put the heat in, and the green beans you buy. Even by buying the same coffee as a different grade, you can get immense taste differences. Never mind if one was, say, a Kenyan and the other one was a Brazilian. I mean, what flavor difference do you get there?
Yes.
And another thing that I would actually maybe encourage, and maybe also with Grant, is I think we should be looking at more seriously good quality, just plain dried coffee.